The answer is yes, but how? The church has infallibly declared that outside of the church there is no salvation. And make no mistake, when the Roman Catholic Church says, quote, the church, it means the Roman Catholic Church, not an invisible church made up of believers from different denominations with varying beliefs. If there's no salvation outside of the Catholic Church, then how can non-Catholics be saved? Well, according to Father Leonard Feeney in the 1940s, they couldn't. Outside the church, there is no salvation meant, unless you were a water-baptized Catholic, you couldn't be saved. Going so far as to call Pope Pius IX a Pelagian heretic for saying that no one goes to hell without grave voluntary sin. Saying, to say that God would never permit anyone to be punished eternally unless he has incurred the guilt of voluntary sin is nothing short of Pelagianism. If God cannot punish eternally a human being who has not incurred the guilt of voluntary sin, then how, for example, can he punish eternally babies who die unbaptized? Father Feeney was excommunicated for refusing to go to Rome and explain his position, and the Holy Office condemned his errors. Father Feeney's excommunication was eventually lifted. But how can these people be saved outside of the visible confines of the Catholic Church when the Church says there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church? What makes a person a member of the body of Christ and therefore in the Church is baptism. Literally, anybody can baptize anybody else. The baptizer doesn't even have to be a Christian. They can be a pagan. So long as proper matter, form, and intent are present, the baptism is valid. Proper matter means water on the head. Proper form means the baptizer says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And proper intent is that the baptizer intends to do as the church does. When this happens, the person is baptized into the Catholic Church, not the Baptist, Methodist, or any of the other thousands of other denominations. Even though the baptism may occur in one of those buildings by one of their ministers or preachers, the baptism is Catholic, and they are now a Christian. At that moment, the person receives initial salvation and is, quote, saved. They remain so until, or unless, they make a formal act of heresy or commit a mortal sin. Now, every non-Catholic Christian is in heresy. Heresy is holding a Christian doctrine that is false. For instance, Scripture alone, once saved, always saved, salvation through faith alone, they're all heresies. Heresy is either material or formal. Material heresy means the person holds a heretical belief but doesn't know any better. This will not cause the person to lose their salvation and send them to hell. Formal heresy means the person holds the heretical belief and knows better. In other words, the person has had sufficient evidence to the contrary and should therefore change their position, yet they do not. This will cause the person to lose salvation and go to hell if they do not renounce the heresy. Mortal sin. There are three criteria for a Christian to be guilty of mortal sin. One, the sin must be grave matter. It must be a serious sin. Two, they must have full knowledge. The person must know this is a grave sin. And three, they must give their complete consent. They must have willingly committed the act. If just one of these criteria is missing, the sin is not mortal. It is either venial, meaning it is a sin but will not cause you to go to hell, or it is not a sin at all. We know there is sin that causes damnation and sin that does not cause damnation. 1 John 5:16 and 17. If anyone sees his brother committing what is not a mortal sin, he will ask, and God will give him life for those whose sin is not mortal. There is sin which is mortal. I do not say that one is to pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin which is not mortal. If a Christian has committed mortal sin, they have lost sanctifying grace and will go to hell unless they repent and confess the sin with the intention not to sin again. If their repentance or contrition is perfect, meaning they are sorry for their sin out of love of God, then they are forgiven all sin, including mortal sin. If, however, their contrition is not perfect, not for love of God, but for some other reason, such as fear of hell, then sacramental confession with a priest is required for them to receive God's forgiveness, not because there is a defect in God's mercy or an unwillingness on God's part to forgive, but rather a defect or an unwillingness on the part of the person to receive God's forgiveness. Knowing our human weaknesses, Christ established the sacrament of penance. In John chapter 20, 21-23, Christ breathed on the apostles and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." It is confirmed by the early church fathers. The Didache says, "Confess your sins in church and do not go up to prayer with an evil conscience. This is the way of life. The Lord's Day, gather together, break bread, and give thanks after confessing your transgressions." Ignatius of Antioch said, "For as many as are of God and of Jesus Christ are also with the bishop, and as many shall, in the exercise of penance, return into the unity of the church, to all them that repent, the Lord grants forgiveness if they turn in penitence to the unity of God and communion with the bishop." Cyprian of Carthage in 250 AD says, "Of how much greater faith and solitary fear are they who confess their sins to the priest of God in a straightforward manner and in sorrow, making an open declaration of conscience." But what about non-Christians, people of other faiths or no faith at all? The Church declares that God desires the salvation of all men and gives sufficient grace to all men to save their souls. The Second Vatican Council says, "For they who without their own fault do not know of the gospel of Christ and his church, but yet seek God with sincere heart and try under the influence of grace to carry out his will in practice, known to them through the dictates of conscience, can attain eternal salvation." This is called baptism of desire. The desire for salvation, as best they understand it, serves as their baptism. Well, that's the data. So what are we to make of it? Well, there are those who look at this and say there is a chance for non-Catholics to be saved, but it's rare. Essentially holding to Feeneyism, but admitting that a few non-Catholics might be saved. And then there are those who say, since there is a chance for non-Catholics to be saved, then they will be saved, holding to practical universalism. Maybe Hitler, Stalin, Mao, and a few other mass murderers go to hell, but that's it. Everyone else is saved. In my opinion, the former renders God unfair, and the fact that God desires all men to be saved and gives all men sufficient grace to save their souls, meaningless. The latter renders the church and the need to preach the gospel irrelevant. So neither can be true. And neither takes into account what the church is really saying. They simply modify that which has been deemed heretical in order to avoid heresy. So here's my interpretation of the data. With regards to non-Christians, I think we have to take into account predestination. Yes, the Catholic Church affirms predestination, just not the Calvinist view. And while this subject deserves more unpacking, suffice it to say that I am a Molinist, and from a Molinist view, God used his foreknowledge before creation of who would and would not accept the gift of salvation, placing those who would in positions that they could, and those who would not, he uses for his own purposes. With that, I think we must acknowledge that the majority of non-Christians will not be saved, though some will, not because God is unfair, but rather because he knew they would not accept salvation, even if they were given the opportunity. Also, we cannot render the preaching of the gospel and the acceptance of Christ as necessary for salvation irrelevant. Otherwise, to not preach the gospel would be for their salvation, and to preach the gospel could lead to their damnation. In other words, invincible ignorance could save a person, but knowledge of the gospel would send them to hell, and that's not acceptable. Non-Christians who are saved because they are truly seeking after Christ, though through no fault of their own, they do not realize it is Christ they seek. With regard to non-Catholic Christians, I am far more optimistic about their salvation. Maybe it's because I live in such a heavily Protestant area and all my family and friends are Protestant, that I have more of an optimistic outlook for them. The two things that can send a non-Catholic Christian to hell is formal heresy and mortal sin without perfect contrition. I would say the vast majority of Protestants are not formal heretics. And by the way, if you're Protestant, don't get upset over that term. It's the proper term. And today, basically, everybody is a heretic, as you will see soon. But they have been taught to believe these heresies and have not been sufficiently exposed to Catholic doctrine to be held guilty for it. And what they have been exposed to is a skewed idea of Catholic theology. As far as mortal sin, the default seems to be venial sin. If it's not grave matter, it's venial sin. If it's grave matter, but they didn't know, it's venial sin. If it's grave matter, they knew, but they didn't have full control, then it's venial sin. The only time a Christian is guilty of mortal sin is when they do something that they know is gravely sinful and could cause them to lose their salvation, and there is nothing standing in the way of their free will, such as addiction. I think that is a tall order for any Christian who is striving to live the Christian life to the best of their ability and truly loves God. And if they do commit mortal sin, the idea that a Christian who truly loves God would be given perfect contrition makes sense to me. Many Protestants do not believe in the real presence. A study came out recently that says 70% of Catholics do not believe in the real presence. Which one do you think is more likely to be in formal heresy? The Protestants who were taught not to believe the real presence, or the Catholics who were? It is far worse for a Catholic to deny the real presence than for a Protestant to. Protestants universally have no problem with contraception. A study came out in the 90s that said 90% of Catholics either have or are currently contracepting. Using contraception is grave sin. Objectively speaking, it is a mortal sin. Who do you think is more likely to be guilty of the mortal sin? The Protestants who were not taught that it is a mortal sin, or the Catholics who were? It is far worse for a Catholic to be using contraception than a Protestant. But we cannot render the Church irrelevant. The Catholic Church is the only divinely established means for salvation. Anyone who is saved through the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church also says, "Whosoever, knowing that the Catholic Church was made necessary by God through Jesus Christ, would refuse to enter her or to remain in her, could not be saved." And there will be Protestant Christians who go to hell even though they think they're going to heaven. We can't say that Protestants have as much of an opportunity to be saved as Catholics. That is simply not true. A Catholic in good standing has every opportunity to save their soul. Protestants have some opportunity to save their souls. But it may very well be that many Protestants make better use of the few opportunities that they have, and Catholics squander the many opportunities that they have. So the numbers, we don't know. We don't know who will actually be saved. Until my next video, God bless.